be so good to us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 105. It's the key verse that we're doing on, but it's like when the Lord does something to you, you need to acknowledge it. When the Lord has done something for you, you need to acknowledge it. And sometimes you need to acknowledge it by faith, even when you don't feel it. Right? What has the Lord done for me? He's redeemed me. He set me free. He brought me into His holiness. He said that I could come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in my time of need. He said that He'd never leave me nor forsake me. And so I have to acknowledge that in advance, and especially when I'm going through stuff. Anybody gone through stuff? But when the Lord does something and you acknowledge it, it's solidifies it not only in your heart, but it puts something in your mind that implants it or puts, you know, it's like this, and I know all of you could come up with situations where you have a memory that the minute that you think about it, you're right back in that spot. Right? And reminding ourselves of what God has done for us is just awesome. Hallelujah. This morning, while we were just getting ready, Carla and Sarah brought up a testimony of what God had done just this week. And do you guys want to share it, or do you want me to just share it? Go ahead. Okay. So we have a weekly prayer meeting on Thursdays. And they're awesome, by the way. They're just so much fun. So the presence of God is always there. But this week, we were praying for Sarah because we prayed for Sarah that she would get a job at Fred Meyer, and she got it. Hallelujah. But she got the job, but somehow in their scheduling and everything, they had no hours for what they hired her for. It wasn't in the budget, so she was hired. I'm an employee, but I've got no hours. So Thursday, Carla came with that, and she said, "We need to pray that she get hours." And I said, "Well, we're going to pray, but we're also going to declare that those hours are coming in Jesus' name." Well, that day, she got hours because of the favor of God on her. When other people weren't getting the hours, she got the hours. Twice the amount of hours. Come on. That's the favor of God. That's God responding to us. So it's important when God responds or does something for you, even if it's little, that you speak of it, that you tell it, that you not become embarrassed by it. Or, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And it's not just a big deal for you. It's a big deal for your future. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's look at the first verse. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And when he's saying that, I just want you to know that isn't, "Well, thanks, God. Thank you, God." That's, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name and make known His deeds among the peoples." Make known His deeds upon the people. Let's look at verse 2. It says, "Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works." You know, I've heard some people say, "Well, you know, I'm not a singer." Did you know that you were commanded to sing whether you feel like you can sing or not? And I think the enemy is the one that tells you that you can't sing. Because singing puts you in a different place with God. In Ephesians chapter 5, when he says, you know, he said, "Don't be drunk with wine where it's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he goes on to tell you how. He says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The word hymn there means it's in a... Augustine said this. He said, "A hymn is always sung." Watch this. "It's always to God, and it's always praise." Yeah. Right? And you think, "Well, I'm just not a singer. I just don't sing." In the words of the carpenters, "I don't care if it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing the song." Why? Because there's something about singing that goes to a different place. That's why when you hear a worship song and it just grips you and you find yourself singing it all week. I mean, what's up with that? That's the Spirit of God saying that that's a key for you to be in my presence. So sing. That's all bonus. I wasn't going to talk about that. Verse 3. Glory in His name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength and His face forevermore. I sought the Lord and He heard. But sometimes we seek the Lord and He answers and then we stop seeking the Lord. When's the last time that we just sought the Lord? He's dealing with me on some things and I have to begin to seek Him about those things. What did He say? Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and everything else will be taken care of. That's my translation, but everything else, all your needs, everything, don't worry about those. Seek Him first. Now watch this next verse, and this is our key verse for the month. Remember His marvelous work, which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Remember. I was thinking about this word and just thinking about remember. What does that mean? That means bring back up a memory. Remember means to bring back up a memory. And think about, you can remember something, but if it's really done something in you and it's something that's a part of you, you'll go back at the moment that you remember it and you'll be right in that situation again. You'll feel it. You'll sense it. It'll be deep within you. I remember when I was 15, my brother was 16, and we were going up snow skiing. And my dad had, we had the station wagon, and we had six people in the car with all the skis and stuff in the back, and we're heading up snow skiing. And my dad had the neighborhood garage. Some of you won't remember this, but you were old enough to remember. We used to have special garages that we went to, and you went to a gas station, and they changed your oil, they serviced your car, they changed your tires, they did everything at that gas station. Well, we went up to Nick Colasurdo's gas station the night before, and Dad had him put on the snow tires. So he put on the snow tires, and we're heading up, and we're going down the hill. And this was when the I-90 was a four-lane road, but it wasn't, you know, just four lanes. It wasn't divided. We're going down that road, and all of a sudden, look around, and the car just went like this. Our car just went like this. Went over two lanes of oncoming traffic and then down a ditch just like this. I mean, this, when we crawled back up out of there, we had to be on our hands and knees to get out of it. And the car landed between two trees so that we couldn't open the two front doors. I remember that. Right? Well, the story was is that our friend Nick Colasurdo put the lug nuts on with the, you know, zut, 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 but he didn't tighten them down. So the lug nuts fell off. And anyway, so, but the point is that when I'm telling you that story, I remember what I felt. I remember what I heard. I remember everything about it. I want you, when you're talking about the things that God does for you, make them so personal that when you remember them, that you go right back to that instant. Are you with me? I remember when I got saved. I remember when He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember when He called me into the ministry. Glory. I got called into the ministry actually when I was in fifth grade. Fifth grade. I was going to Catholic school and, you know, we were required to go into Mass, and sometimes we could just go into the church and kneel and pray. I had a buddy of mine, his name was Mike. Mike Coleman was his name. And Mike was in trouble a lot. He was an adopted child of a family that actually lived on our street, but he was in trouble a lot, and he was in the detention center at the time of this. And so I was in, and I can remember the spot. I can remember exactly where I was. As I'm telling you this, I'm back in there. I'm in the second row back in the back quarter section of the church. And I'm in there and I just said, Lord, if you help Mike out, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And you know what he did? Mike straightened out, got out of that trouble, and you know, was walking well. And so I said, okay. And so, but to my definition of serving the Lord at that time, because I was Catholic, was become a priest. And so my call was to serve him all the days of my life, and I decided, well, then I'm going to become a priest. And so after eighth grade, you could, you know, apply for the seminary, which was a prep school for college, but you went after eighth grade into the seminary. So I applied, but I was rejected for reasons I'm not going to go into, but I was rejected. And I thought, this is weird because I'm smarter than some of the other guys in my class that got in. I don't understand this, but God, right? So I walked away from God after that. I thought, well, I'm off the hook. He doesn't want me? Cool. And I'm off the hook. And so I got into partying and doing different things. But when I was about 25 years old, I think, 24, 25, a guy started talking to me about Jesus. And he started saying, God said this, and God said that, and God did this, and God did that. And he was testifying of what God had done in his life. And his testifying or remembering what God did in his life drew me to God. So I not only remember when I got saved, but after I got saved, I was reminded and remembered sitting and kneeling in that pew at Holy Family in White Center. And I remember saying, I will serve you the rest of my life. So the minute that I got saved, my memory went back to that point, and the call was still there. Are you hearing me? So when it says, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, it's important for us to not neglect the memories that God has put into our life. If you're here this morning and God has saved you, if he set you free from something, you need to remember that and you need to acknowledge that. Right? Because acknowledging, and oftentimes, watch this, there's many things that we need to remember, and I'll go through some of them as we go through this morning. But we need to remember what God has done for us. There's times that we need to remember how we were before he came to us. Not that we're in condemnation over our past, but we remember the pit that he pulled us out of. Why? For two reasons. So that you know, if he's pulled me out of that pit, he'll pull me out of this pit. But the other is, I'm lost without him. When I came to the Lord, I knew that I needed him. I knew that I was not right with God. I knew that I needed to live my life and give my heart to him completely. I need to remember that when I get too big for my britches. When I say, I got this. We need to remember. I don't know why, but I just feel impressed to tell you this story too. When I first got saved, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it happened 2 minutes apart. So I got saved, and they said, do you want everything that God has for you? And I came from a party and a lifestyle, and some of you will get this reference. We weren't a six-pack crew. We were a case crew. If you went to somewhere, you didn't take a six-pack. You took a case of beer, right? So I want everything God has for me. And he said, well, I'm not really good at doing this, but my wife is more gifted. And so his wife prayed for me and she said, just raise your hand. I'm just saved. I just said the sinner's prayer. You want all God has for you? Yes. And they said, well, just raise your hands. And I said, I did. And she said, start saying hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said, your tongue is going to get thick and you're just going to, you know, you'll begin to make sounds and it'll come out like baby talk, but just, and so I said, hallelujah, I was filled with the Spirit 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it was right after I was saved. And I'm saying that to tell you that I remember what happened to me right after that. Because I remember going into this living room one way and then coming out of the living room in a completely different position. I describe it this way, that a heaviness was gone and I felt lighter inside. And when I walked out of that house and it had several cement steps coming up to the door, I felt like I floated right off of it. But then when I got home, see, and as I'm telling this, I'm reminding what God did inside of me. I'm remembering. I'm reminding myself of a memory that He's put inside of me. I went home that evening, and it was summertime. It was in August. And I remember I went to my little kitchen. I lived in a house that was built in the 30s, so it had a really small kitchen in the back of the house. And I can remember kneeling on the linoleum floor, because I think it was the same linoleum that was in the house when it was built. But kneeling on that linoleum floor and looking out the window, which faced east, and the moon was up. But for 45 minutes, not knowing why I was doing it, not understanding it, but I was just praying in the Spirit for 45 minutes. And His presence was just so beautifully in that room. And it was so dependent upon it. So fast forward a few months, I've been operating in a position where I wasn't part of a church. We were part of Bible studies, and we had Bible studies everywhere. Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. They're all over the place. And our custom for the Bible study was that we came in and we sang a few songs, and then we gave testimony to the Lord of what God was doing in our lives. And then we had a little Bible study, and that was the way it went. So 3 months into it, the fellow that's leading me, or, you know, as the leader of this group, he said, "Well, next Wednesday, Bruce, you're going to teach." What? But remember, God spoke to me about my call. And then I'd been reading the gospel, and I hadn't got all through way through the New Testament yet, but I'd been reading through the gospel, and I came across a passage of scripture that said, "Don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the things that you're supposed to speak." And I said, "Okay, I'm available. I'm called. I'll do it. And I trust you, God." See, I'm telling you this because that memory is so burned inside of me. And I got up to go to these Bible study. It was on a Wednesday night, I believe. And I remember sitting in front of the house about 10 or 15 minutes before it was time to go in for the, and I sat there and just prayed in tongues. I didn't know what I was going to say. I just prayed in tongues. And this is what I did. I had an old Dakes, and some of you will know what that is, Dakes Bible, but it was the New Testament. It was hard covered, so it was really big and heavy. And I went like this. I said, "Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I'd never read Romans chapter 5 in my life. I'm not recommending this as the practice, and I don't do that today unless He tells me to, but I opened to Romans chapter 5 and I started reading, and I was trusting the Holy Spirit to use me. And do you know, people actually got saved. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. They were touched in their spirit, not because of me, but because of Him. And I knew I was called, so I went to Bible school, and I started to learn about the different principles for preaching and how to get an outline and how to, you know, the hermeneutics and homiletics and all of the technical things. And I was, you know, had that all, how to, you know, write the outline. You have to have, you know, the title, the introduction, 5 points and a closing, and, you know, how to do that all. And so I'd been preaching for a little while and had my notes on the side as I'm driving to church. And I always went early because I was, you know, it was, we were a small church in Belfair, and I had to set up and do everything. And so it was my custom to go early and set up. And so I'm on my way to church, and I can remember it was a spring day. We lived on the south shore of Hood Canal. And I'm telling you these memories for a reason. But I'm driving down the road, and I get almost to Sunset Grocery, and I'm thinking, this thought came to me. You're getting pretty good at this. And then I heard this on the inside. I'm not talking about a voice outside, but I heard this. Oh, really? Oh, really? And I had to say, oh, forgive me. Holy Spirit, I'm so dependent upon you. I can do nothing of spiritual significance without you. I trust you, Holy Spirit. I'm nothing without you. I'm not good outside of you. You've made me good. You've made me righteous. You've made me holy. But I'm totally, completely dependent upon you. See, we have to remember what the Lord has done and what the Lord has said. And so I've been repenting the whole time, about 10 minutes more till I got to the, and I was there an hour early. I was repenting the whole time, but I had my notes. I had the title. I had the introduction. I had 5 points, and I had the closing. But I get up after worship and get up to preach, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, open the Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. In other words, throw those away. You see, the memory of the impact of the Holy Spirit being with me and anointing me changed something on the inside of me. So why am I saying all that? Because God's done some similar things with you. And you need to remind yourself of those things. You need to place yourself back in those things. Why? Because those memories can give you faith for what's ahead. Or faith to get through something that you're going through. Oftentimes it's like, God, if you got me through that, you'll get me through this. And sometimes it's other people's memories that can help you get through your situation. If somebody comes up and testifies like Sarah did about her getting the hours. It's like, well, God, if God did it for, he's no respecter of persons, he can do it for me. So her sharing her story can add faith to you. So remembering and telling of those memories, reminding yourself, talking to yourself and to others about them, help you in your day-to-day existence in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 6 says this. It says, O seed of Abraham, his servant, and you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. You have to remember that you are the seed of Abraham. Back when this was written, he was talking to the Jewish nation, but the Bible says that in Christ, all who are in Christ are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So this applies to me today. So he's saying, listen, remember who you are. Remember what God has done for you. Remember what happened when God came into covenant with you. Why is this important? Because you may have the viewpoint that you're not enough, that you can't do it, that you're without hope. But wait a minute, wait a minute. I may not be able to do it in my own strength, but I'm in covenant through, and I'm a child of the Most High God, and He will help me. He will bring me through. He is my helper. I've got to remember what He said and what He's done. Look at this, verse 7. It says, for He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever and the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. He remembers the covenant that He struck with you. He remembers the fact that He said, and it's based on His word, that He who knew no sin became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He remembers that, and you ought to remind yourself of what He said about it. Because He enforces the covenant that He struck. Are you with me? So reminding ourselves, how do we remind ourselves? We remind ourselves by thinking about it, but I think it solidifies it even more when we put it into words and speak it out. Another way that He does is, for some, He will give you songs about it. Give you songs about it. Why? Because when you sing it, you put yourself right back in that position. I didn't have planned to do this, but I'm going to anyway. Again, it'll put you back in that position. I was saved only a couple months, and I can remember I was driving across the old Spokane Street Bridge in Seattle, because I lived in Seattle, worked downtown Seattle, and I was driving across there, and I was thinking, I was in an old Dodge station wagon, Dart station wagon, and driving across the bridge and just going, Lord, you're just talking to Him. Lord, how come there's no Holy Ghost blues? Christian blues. And He said, Son, there's no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. And then He gave me this. I said, there ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. I said, there ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. You see, my Lord Jesus, He done paid your dues. Sinner man, you tell me you're down and you're out. Well, let me tell you what life is all about. You don't have to stay in your misery. By the stripes of Jesus, you've been set free. I said, there ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. I said, there ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. You see, my Lord Jesus, He done paid. I said, He done paid. I said, He done paid your dues. Now, watch this. Watch this. That's burned inside of me. And not just the words of it, not just the feeling of the song, but what He was saying to me at the time. You don't have to be in the dumps. You don't have to stay in the blues. You don't have to, because God has lifted you out of it. Come on. Whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, whatever, He has lifted you out of it, and you need to remind yourself of what He has done and the covenant that He's made. Because He remembers His covenant with you. He remembers the fact that when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you came into His family, and the blood of Jesus has made you accepted in His sight. You need to remember what He's done and what He said. Amen? Go with me. Watch this to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. God is so good and He's so faithful. Listen to this story. Matthew 16. Verse 5, it says, Now when His disciples had come to the other side, they'd forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves what you have been, that you brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. And now the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Jesus was saying, you don't remember what I just did, so you can't have faith in what I'm going to do. Let me say that again. You don't remember what I did, so you can't have faith in what I'm going to do. Oftentimes we forget to remind ourselves, listen, I had this ailment and he healed me. I had this financial need and he took care of it. I had this demonic activity in my life and he set me free from it. And so we get into a situation that may be similar or you know, a little bit different, but in the same category. And we forget to remember what he did and we start whining to him about why he hasn't. God, why didn't you heal me? Why aren't you touching me? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And we don't remember what he's done. Yeah. So what we need to do, we need to understand that I need to remind myself of what God has done in my life. See, because I can remember when I was a stoned hippie. And Renita's back there signaling, I had an afro that was, as some of you have seen the picture, it was this big out here and way back down here. It looked good too, I'm telling you. But watch this, I was a stoned hippie. But I was empty on the inside. I was empty on the inside. And I knew that drugs and alcohol and other things that I was doing was just not cutting it. And I needed something. And he came. And he filled me. And he changed me. I need to remember not only who I was before, but what he did to me to get me to go from that to something completely different. You know, after I got saved, I had this crazy notion that he liked me. And that he was for me. See, I grew up in a system, at least my perception of that system was, he liked you if you did right, but he doesn't like you if you do wrong. So his love for you was based on your behavior. And if you didn't behave right, he didn't love you so much and so on and so forth. But by experience, I found out he loved me, period. When I was at my worst, he loved me. So he loves me now that I'm not, you know, necessarily at my worst, but I'm not at my best either. Because I remember that he came to me in my worst. And he's still coming. He still wants me in his presence. Should we live right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And part of that is to remember, part of remembering where we've been and the shame and all the stuff that it brought us, because there come times where we're tempted to go back. And if we'll remember what that was like and remember to where we've been delivered to, we'll go, I don't think so. Yeah. Years ago, I was coming out of the shipyard and I've been working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Been doing it for about 3 or 4 months. It's summertime again. I worked from 8 at night till 8 in the morning. So I got off at 8 in the morning and was on my way out of the shipyard. And you parked out in the streets those days. And so I was walking back to my car. And I just happened to be walking by a place in Bremerton that there was some famous taverns that were dive bars just, you know, in Bremerton. And here's the thought that came to me. You know, you ought to just go over to this tavern and get drunk. It came to me. It was like, and I just started laughing. Why? Because I remembered who I was when I was getting drunk. I remembered who I was when I was living that lifestyle. I remember who I was. And I said, no, 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 no. So the memory of that was like, why in the world would I go back to eat the dung again when He set me free. See? So remembering, even sometimes where we've been, will keep us from going back there. Because the enemy will come to you and try to tempt you. And, well, you know, you were better off when you were. And remember how much fun you had when you were partying out. No. I remember the emptiness. I remember the fact that He saved me and set me free. So we have to remember what He's done for us so that we can have faith in what He's going to do for us. Glory to God. Glory, He loves me. Oh, He loves me. I was lost. I was in chains. And He came for me. Right? That is so true. That is so good. Let's go to Psalm 119. I'm missing so much of this, but it's okay. Psalm 119. And we're going to go to verse 49. Psalm 119, 49. Listen to this. This is so important. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Remember or remind myself and you of what's he saying here. He's saying, look it. I heard the promise. And sometimes that promise to you can come from somebody else. Like when I'm preaching to you, the Spirit of God could speak to you a word of a particular verse, and that's a promise to you. And remember the word. In other words, God, I am reminding you of your word in this situation. I'm reminding you, Lord, of your word that you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. It seems like you're a million miles away, and maybe I did some things to mess up, but Lord, I'm reminding you of your word. Does God need to be reminded of His word? No, but you need to be reminded that He keeps His word. You need to be reminded that He keeps His word. I'm reminding you, Lord, of your word. And sometimes it's absolutely imperative that we not pray for something, but we remind God of His word and declare something. In other words, with the testimony of Sarah, and we didn't pray necessarily that she would receive more hours. We declared that she would receive more hours because she has the favor of God. The favor of God is on her, and God provided that job for her source, a resource. But we were declaring a thing. Why? Because we were remembering what He said, and what He said was important for us to receive what He promised. So we need to remind ourselves and we need to declare ourselves. All of you, and I know this, there are times we go through things and it's like, this is overwhelming to me. This is more than I can handle. This is more than I can emotionally see. This is more than I can, even think or conceive of. That's the time where we have to get quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, I remember what you said. And I'm reminding you of what you said because I'm believing you for the results of what you said in my life. Come on. Come on. Think about this. And I need to close. But think about this. You ever think about how it was when the early church was born? And sometimes we almost put that in a pedestal. But these were real people. And for a lot of them, when they said yes to Jesus, it meant no to family because they were outcasts of their families. And then, and many of them, many of them, if they said yes to Jesus, they were saying that Caesar was not God and it cost them their lives. They were martyred for their faith. How could they go through that? How could they stand in the middle of that? First of all, the grace of God was on them, but they remembered the promise that Jesus made, right? And that Paul had declared to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. You know, so you can hit me, you can do whatever you want, but I am not going to denounce Jesus because I remember what he said to me, and Jesus is my Lord, Caesar can't be. Yeah. Right? So again, why do we testify? Why do we bring back up? Why do we rehearse in our minds the things that God has done for us? It's so that we can cement our faith and have hope in what lies ahead rather than be dragged down by what's present or behind. Forgetting those things that are behind, Paul said, I press on toward the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. You know, to me, that's just speaking of, yeah, I'm going through stuff down here. Some stuff I don't like. Some stuff that doesn't make sense. Some things that I thought would turn out differently. But I'm pressing on because I know what he paid for me and what that purchased for me. That for eternity, I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be with him. And the only true significance that I can have on this life is to bring somebody else into an eternal perspective of what's truly important. Amen? Amen. It's so good. It's so good. Let's pray. Lord, we're remembering your word. We're remembering what you said. We're remembering, Lord, that you said that your anointing breaks the yoke. And whether you're watching online or you're here this morning, I just felt in my spirit while we were in worship that there's some of us who need to remember where we were before we met Christ. Remember the commitment that we made to him. And then maybe evaluate our lives right now where they are. Because some of us, because of the cares of this world, have left aside putting him first. Because that's just the enemy trying to get you off track. But today, I don't care what your need is, he's the answer. I don't care what the question is, Jesus is the answer. But for us, if we knew him at one point and aren't walking with him with the zeal, with the fire, with the fervency, it's time for us to remember back to who we were, to what he did, and who he caused us to be. For some of us, it may be laying some things aside. For some of us, it may be just getting back into the Bible or just praying again and just relaxing in his presence, but seeking his face again. So if you're here or watching online, maybe that describes you. Maybe that's something inside of you that God is dealing with you about. I just want you to spend a moment. You don't have to come up for prayer, although prayer would be great if you want to. But you in your heart, just recommit or rededicate your heart to him. Say, Jesus, there was a day when I said, Jesus is Lord of my life. And I may have let that slip and may have been doing things that I shouldn't be doing or saying things that I shouldn't be saying. But I want to remind you, I want to remind me of that moment, of that second, I made Jesus Lord of my life. And at that moment, I committed to live my life for you. So right now, Lord, as you're reminding me of this, I say this, the commitment stands. The commitment is absolute. I return to you with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my might. I come into your presence right now. If you're watching online, just right where you are. You don't have to get on your knees. If you want to, you can. But just right where you are, just say, Jesus, you are so real to me. You've been so real to me in the past, and I've let that slip. Forgive me. But I'm coming back to you, and you said that you would in no way throw me out if I came to you. So by your blood and by the words of my mouth, I'm returning to you with my whole heart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for touching people who are online. I thank you, Lord. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's simple as saying, Jesus, I need you. But the key is that you do it from your heart and with everything within you. It's not a get out of jail card, but it's a commitment that I'm laying my life down for you. If you'll do that and you'll just say, Father, I believe that Jesus is Lord and that you've raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Come back to him. Come to him for the first time. Be filled with him because he loves you. Father, all those who are at home because of sickness and suffering and pain, I just bring the healer into their room right now in Jesus' name. You healed them before, you'll heal them again. I thank you for your report, Lord, because that's the one we're going to believe. By your stripes, they are healed. You took upon their infirmity and drove away their sickness, Lord. I just thank you for that. I speak to every oppressive spirit that's over the people that are listening to my voice. I command you in Jesus' name to release your hold over them right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching. God bless you in Jesus' name.